Welcome everyone to Final Score with the score. Tottenham Hotspur 3, Chelsea 4. Chelsea extend their lead in second in the Premier League. Great second half performance. 3 goals in the second half to come from 2-0 down to 4-3. Because Spurs got a goal right at the end to give us all 10 heart attacks, as always happens with Chelsea. But we've beaten Spurs. Great performance second half. Cole Palmer with 2 penalties, including one absolutely beautiful penalty, a nice pancake over the keeper. Jadon Sancho with an absolute screamer in the first half. And then Enzo Fernandez with another goal. Brilliant goal after some skill from Cole Palmer. Which put us 3-2 up. And Spurs, that was after Spurs had gone 2-0 up in the space of 11 minutes. We just didn't start the game. We didn't wake up at all. Didn't start the game well. And Spurs took full advantage and scored 2 very quick goals. And we were not at it in the first 20 minutes, half hour. But come back from that to play as we did and win 4-3. Absolutely brilliant. We're now 4 points clear of Manchester City in fourth. We're 2 points clear of Arsenal, and we're 6 points clear of 5th place and 6th place. We're also only 4 points off the top, although Liverpool have a game in hand. It's all good today, and we're looking forward to hearing from you and getting your thoughts on today's game. But first, I am joined by my co-host, Louis. Welcome back, Louis. How are you feeling?
I still can't get over that Panenka, by the way. That was... Just for that, what happened there, right, is Fraser Forster, seeing his footballing career, right, that moment after someone dies, you have 7 minutes where your mind replays all those amazing moments which you've seen in your life, you know, might have had your wedding day, the birth of your first child, maybe even, you know, just some really cool things that happened. What happened? As he dived the wrong way and Cole Palmer chipped that ball over the top of him, he saw his entire footballing career flash before his eyes. His time at Southampton, being the bench warmer at Spurs, that one amazing game where Messi wanted Barcelona to sign him after he stopped everything going in the net to see Celtic win 1-0. That, my friends, was the end of Fraser Forster's footballing career. And I believe... potentially the end of Ange Postecoglou's Tottenham 1 as well, because my word, that was the most heinous crime against football that Cole Palmer cultivated there, and I am all for it. What an evening.
Absolutely beautiful, isn't it? It's always good to beat Spurs. It's even more enjoyable when they actually have a 2-0 lead and bottle it, which is what they did today. Very typical Spurs. And there were some great goals today. Really were. Like, Jadon Sancho's goal, absolutely sensational goal. And then Enzo Fernandez's goal with, after a bit of brilliant skill from Cole Palmer, who we're going to talk about, obviously. That was a fantastic goal as well. Really. And great character from Chelsea to come back from 2-0 down after 10 minutes. To win the game. And, you know, we're clear now in second in the Premier League. Four wins in a row in the Premier League now. We've beaten Aston Villa and Tottenham this week. So we're beating some of the traditional big six teams, which is good. We keep going. So there's so many things we can talk about today. I've got too many discussion points today. So I want to start though with, Enzo Fernandez, because yeah, he's now got 3 goals and 6 assists in his last 7 games for Chelsea. He's got 3 goals and 7 assists overall this season. He scored some big goals as well. Like today was a big goal, you know, to take the lead against Spurs. He got the winner against Leicester, I think, as well. Like he's getting some important goals, and he's contributing and he's actually playing really well. Like, I know that you've been a skeptic of his, Louis.
Not just me. You have as well.
I know. But you have, but people on this show, you have been. How do you think he's playing? How did he play today?
Look, I was already called out earlier by the admin, and I didn't appreciate that. And I've already issued my full apology to Enzo Fernandez. But I will also give it here. It seems that if you're in a rut in life, guys, okay, and this is to all the guys that are married, you know, if things aren't going right for you, okay, if you need something that's going to change it up and make a difference and you want to do better, clearly getting a divorce is the answer. So, you know, by the looks of things, Enzo Fernandez has massively picked up here. It's been fantastic to see him doing so well over the past few games. You know, he's really started to show what he's capable of. This was a player that we saw when he first arrived as a real game changer. And today he did it again. You know, he was the guy who got Chelsea in front. And that's a massive, massive thing to consider. Granted, we can look at this game and sort of say, well, you know, Enzo Fernandez, you know, he's starting to really show what he's got. And I'm a massive fan of it. And long may it continue. That's all I'm going to say here. Long may it continue.
That's fair play. Respect to that. I do want to kind of recommend that sometimes getting divorced isn't a good thing. I am happily married and I have no intention of getting a divorce and I am better.
Yeah, but you're not in a rut. You know what I mean? Life.
No, I'm not in a rut.
You're happy. But if you are in a rut and you are married, clearly getting divorced is the answer. That's all I'm saying, okay? And there's living evidence.
What's Enzo Fernandez, that's for sure.
I mean, put it this way. Look, score. All I'm saying is I've already messaged my ex, all right? I've slid back in the DMs. I went, listen, all right? I know we don't like each other like that anymore, but we're both in a bit of a rut. Let's get married and just get divorced. It's a weekend in Vegas, all right? That's all I'm seeing here. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, you posted that DM, didn't you? I think you put that on your Twitter account.
Yeah, I did.
There's some great content on Louis' Twitter account today, by the way. I really checked that out. I will recommend other Twitter accounts later. Other Twitter accounts do exist. But yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of Enzo Fernandez, always defended him. I always felt that it was coming, the performances that we expected, and they're starting to now. And it's very clear as well how much he loves the club. You know, the passion that he has. He's been wearing the armband as well. He's done a pretty good job with that. We're getting results with him as captain, you know. And he's got leadership qualities. We've said that before. So, yeah, I'm really pleased for him. Yeah, he's definitely a fixture now in our first choice 11. Top player. He's going to get better. He's only, 23, 24? Yeah, the best is yet to come. But he's been absolutely superb and he scored that really important goal. That was the big goal. That was the big goal because that put us ahead. And that allowed us to kind of slow the game down. And then we got that second penalty, which that second penalty turned out to be very crucial in the end. But nevertheless, brilliant from Enzo Fernandez. Another great game from him. He's played well consistently now for quite a few games for club and country. So, and it does happen to be since his divorce. That can't be ignored, I suppose. But I'm really pleased for him. Just want to say, like, we really want to get your views. We want to get your perspectives. Like, what do you think about Enzo Fernandez? How do you think we're doing? We want to hear from you. This show's about you. So please do a request and Louis will keep an eye on that and get you up.
Do it right now, because then if you request right now, I can get you in right now before our next talking point. So there's a button down there. Give it a quick click and we will get you in as quickly as possible. Please do make your request. And by the way, guys, the other thing as well, if you are new around here or if you're not, please do make sure you share the show because the score works so hard on this and we want to get more people listening and more people involved in, you know, good quality Chelsea conversation. But with that being said, score, because I was vamping, waiting for somebody, we've got one. Martins, here he comes.
Fantastic. Welcome, Martins.
Can we hear you?
Just unmute yourself, Martins, and then we'll hear your views.
Okay, can you hear me right now?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. That was a great game. That was a great comeback, a massive comeback from the boys, I must say. We didn't actually start well due to the rare error from Cucurella. You know, we know he has been massive. He has been on a wonderful form for the last 1 year now. Those two slips actually put us back. I mean, we were already two goals down in the first half, 12 to 13 minutes. And then, and he actually put on a very good show. He immediately changed those boots. For me, these boys did so well, and it really showed that there's something cooking. There's something cooking that the whole of Europe is gonna tremble. Because when we look at it, okay, just look at Badiashile. I was just trying to see something wrong in his play today, and I couldn't just remember one. I couldn't just find one, and it really showed how good what we have on our bench is, you know. Then Kopama, that was a wonderful penalty. That was a wonderful second penalty. I mean, the Tottenham goalkeeper is going to have as nightmares all through this week. That was a wonderful one. Good play from Sancho. Good play from Sancho. He's really tying down that left wing. He's making it his own. He's making that left wing his own. That was a wonderful display. Two goals in two games. Kept the Tottenham's, I mean, we all know, I tell you, Pedro Porro is a wonderful right back. A wonderful right back, Pedro Porro. But, Sancho really kept him back. He couldn't make those busting, marauding runs into our half, you know. But Sancho kept him on his toes. Palmer was there. Neto was there. I could see the reason why Jackson plays ahead of Nkunku. Jackson is I call him the ginger press master. He presses the opposition defenders. He presses the goalkeeper. He gives them no time to think of what to do with the ball. He kept them back. And I tell you, if he continues this way, spending 50 to 80 million buying another striker is truly a waste of funds. I tell you that. Then on the captain, Enzo Fernandez, after this live podcast, I'm about to call a friend. He's also a Chelsea fan, and he was one of those that kept on saying that Enzo needs to be sold. And I was like, what in the world are you talking about? A midfielder like Enzo doesn't come two times in one decade. You only get such a midfielder once in every 10 years. And the last we had was Toni Kroos. That was the last midfielder of that quality that we saw in world and football.
Hang on, Martins, you putting Enzo Fernandez in the same category as Toni Kroos?
Enzo Fernandez is wonderful. He will get there. Remember, he's only 23 years old. He's only 23. At 23 years old, Toni Kroos was in Bayern Munich. And he just won a few titles before that big move to Real Madrid. So I tell you, Enzo Fernandez is going to get to that level. Remember, a central midfielder's career starts when he hits 27 years. 27 years to 32 is when a central midfielder hits the peak of his career. And Enzo Fernandez is still 4 years away to that peak, and he's playing at this level. So any Chelsea fan that is saying anything contrary, that Chelsea has to sell Enzo, doesn't know football. That person is making a huge mistake. Until we see Enzo Fernandez move to Real Madrid, then we start crying foul as Chelsea fans. This guy is the next captain. With the injury Reece James is having frequently, Enzo Fernandez should be given this captain band on a permanent basis. Then Caicedo, wonderful football. Romeo Lavia, he's a beast in the middle. This yellow card that he got, which for me was too harsh, the referee shouldn't have done that. That was just his first tackle in the game, and it limited his opportunities, and that was the major reason why he was taken off. So overall, if not for the errors that Cucurella made, which wasn't his fault, as we all see, immediately he changed those boots, he got back into the game. If not for those errors, I tell you, this would have been a whitewash on Tottenham. We would have blown them off, blown them into the sea, just like a tsunami. So wonderful play from big boys. I give thumbs up to Maresca. He's cooking something. And like he said, we are not in this title race. I don't care about the title race. All I see is a project. And in a project, as a project manager, what you're more interested in are your milestones. What Chelsea is doing now, they are achieving and accomplishing their milestones. These milestones has to do with winning every game and improving, not just winning every game. Remember, Liverpool struggles in their plays in some games, but they end up winning. But Chelsea is putting up the performance, they're putting up the plays, and they are winning. That's the milestone in this project.
Absolutely right. That's right. Chelsea are doing well. We're winning. We're second in the league. Absolutely agree. We're making a lot of progress.
Thanks for
everything you said. Like I'm a big fan of Enzo Fernandez. There have been big comparisons with him in the past, and we'll see how well he does.
I felt attacked for saying somebody who wasn't as big a fan of Enzo Fernandez. I'm not gonna lie, I was very intrigued by the comparison to Toni Kroos because that's a very big statement.
Like one of the best midfielders of all time. So. To get there would be a big achievement for Enzo Fernandez. So we'll see what happens with that one. But thanks, Martin, for coming up. Appreciate it. And if you want to come up, please do request. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're at it, please do follow the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. Great content there from Louis, from myself, from other people. It's a great account. Well worth a follow. So make sure you give that a follow. And that brings us to our next topic, which... And we've got to talk about him today. We talk about him a lot, but Cole Palmer, 2 goals, 2 penalties. He made a brilliant run for Enzo's goal as well. Brilliant bit of skill. 38 goal contributions in a single year, which breaks Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's club record, which has been standing for 23 years. He's also the first player to score 12 out of 12 penalties in the Premier League. We talk about him all the time, but yeah, Cole Palmer, what a player. Absolutely fantastic player. And yeah, he's now the third highest scorer in the Premier League as well with 11 goals. He's only 2 behind Mohamed Salah. 11 goals, 6 assists. Absolutely brilliant. Wonderful. Louis, Cole Palmer.
I mean, it almost feels... If I say anything, it's not going to do justice to what Cole Palmer brings to this team because he played a hand in every single one of those goals today. You know, the one which got Enzo Fernandez in the right position to have him scoring, the ball was stuck to Cole Palmer's foot. And with that, he played the ball off excellently and just Enzo Fernandez was there to finish it up. 2 penalties as well. He was just so... effortlessly good today. And that's just him every week. And I feel like anything that I would say right now would actually be a detriment to how good he is. I can't describe how important Cole Palmer is to Chelsea Football Club. A big benefit, if anything, this is going to sound negative, but I mean it as a positive. Look, the fact that we aren't as reliant on him anymore and there are goals coming from other places in the team as well is fantastic because it means there's not as much pressure on him. But you can't deny how important he is to this team. Look, we talked about how he's 2 goals behind Mo Salah and Erling Haaland in the Golden Boot race, but he's also currently sat 3rd in the assists. He's got the most goal contributions out of anybody in the league. You know, he is... simply magnificent. And actually, no, he hasn't. I apologise. He's got the 2nd most goal contributions in comparison to everyone in the league. I do apologise. But he is somebody who I think is simply spectacular. And there's very little else we can say about that, which isn't repeating ourselves or would do him justice.
Absolutely. The superlatives, there's so many and none of them are enough. Cole Palmer he's just world class. You know, he's probably the best player in the Premier League. He's just, like you say, effortlessly top class. Just got so much sauce, so much skill. His mentality is absolutely top. Nothing fazes him. You know, I mean, like, you know, we were, you know, to get the penalty to equalise against Spurs away, that's a big penalty. No problem for him. Just slotted it away as usual. He's not missed a penalty for Chelsea yet, and I hope that doesn't come back to bite me. 12 in a row, fantastic. And yeah, he's and that's that is a real positive this season that we now don't rely on him. You know, we've got other players scoring goals like Jadon Sancho. Like Jadon Sancho, probably his best game for Chelsea today. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, Pedro Neto scored some goals and Sancho scored some goals. You know, Jackson obviously has got goals this season. And Madueke's got goals. You know, we're getting goals from other places and that's a good thing. And remember, we are the top scorers in the Premier League this season. How many goals is it now? 35 goals? But we are the top scorers by distance, I think now, by quite a few goals. That is pretty incredible. If we could just defend well, we'd probably be well clear at the top of the league. That's the thing. We'll talk about that later, maybe. But Cole Palmer, we have to keep giving him his flowers because, I mean, what a signing he's been. £42 million we paid for him. And that looks just one of the biggest bargains ever. Because he's worth probably about three times that now. And he's absolutely incredible. And yeah, it was a big part of every goal today, like you say, Louis.
Have you seen this quote, by the way, as well? I'm just sharing it to the space now.
I think I just saw that. Yeah.
I tried the Panenka and thankfully it went in. It was a bit frantic and the game was all over the place. I thought the keeper was ready to dive, so I chipped it. It was good. Now, obviously, reading that and hearing it in my voice or your voice will not do it justice. But you know that when he's saying it in that drawl from that Mancunian drawl, and not only is it in that Mancunian drawl, it's also slightly, how do I say it without sounding really, really horrible? He's not the brightest button, is he?
It's working class.
So, you know, the way he'll be saying that.
Working class accent, I'll call it. Like, a working class accent. He's got a lot of football intelligence, I will say that.
The Mancunian accent is nothing to do with it. It's the tonality that he'll be using. You just know that it's going to be a great interview. Because it's like, yeah, you know, it was good. It was all right. So, what? Like, this guy he's like, it's fine. It's like, you're not normal. How do you do that? It makes no sense.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. We're so lucky to have him, you know. And he signed up for a decade. He's going to be here for a long time. I'm very happy about that. Definitely, probably one of the best signs we've ever made. And, you know, he's going to end up probably being in the all-time Chelsea 11 by the time he's done. I mean, he's close to getting into it already, to be honest. But, it's
really?
Just so nice. Nah, well, not yet. Yeah, but I mean, he's that good, isn't he? I mean, if he continues like he is, you know, for the next 3 or 4 years and we start winning things with him in the team, you know, he's got to be at least in the conversation for it in a few years' time. In a few years' time.
Yeah, okay. A few years' time. Okay. I was about to go, right, calm down, school. I was like, blimey. But yeah, in a few years' time, he carries on with this. Absolutely.
That's what I mean. Yeah, if he carries on with this. Which I don't see any reason why he wouldn't carry on with this. But we'll see. Yeah. But no doubt he's a top-class player, and we're lucky to have him. So, another thing for listeners, do again request if you want to come up. We want to hear you talk about Cole Palmer, Enzo Fernandez, Chelsea, today's game. Please do request and come up, and Louis will bring you up. Also, just a word about the voice note review. That will be available soon. Louis is doing a 3-minute voice note review. They're always great listens, very short and sweet, to the point. And that'll be on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. So make sure you give that a listen. It's always good listening. And that brings us to our next conversation. And I'm going to talk about our manager, Enzo Maresca. Today in particular, the halftime team talk, the substitutions, tactical changes that he made, it all worked. We scored 3 goals in the second half. We outplayed him in the second half completely. He's taken us to second in the Premier League, 4 clear of Manchester City, 2 clear of Arsenal, only 4 points off the top of the league, although they have a game in hand. And I think that's beyond anyone's expectations. And he's doing a really, really good job. We've only lost 2 league games now. It's the 8th of December. We've only lost 2 league games, which were Liverpool and Manchester City. We're playing really well. And I think it looks an inspired appointment. And he's made an effort to connect with the fans. He comes to the fans after games. You know, he seems to get what the club means, what the expectations are. He's not complacent. His man management's been good as well. And, you know, we're playing some really good football. Like, just a few words on Enzo Maresca, Louis.
Again, I'm just going to reiterate what I was saying about Cole Palmer. I think that anything that I say right now about Enzo Maresca will not do him justice. But he definitely sits in a camp very similar to Enzo Fernandez, where I was unsure about what he was going to bring to the table at the beginning of the season. We're in December now, which is usually my time of the season to look at things and see where we're at. And I always do it after Christmas Day. And it's kind of my thing with my dad. We do our P&A after the Boxing Day game. That's usually where we decide where we're going to be sitting. And Enzo Maresca has just... I think you hit the nail on the head. He understands what the club's about. He's making an effort to connect with the fans. And I think it's something which we were unsure was going to happen with this ownership. As we've seen over the past 2.5 years, it's just been mistake after mistake after mistake, just a complete lack of understanding about the culture, obviously trying to bed in their own culture at the same time. But, you know, he's come in and has not only been understanding of their approach and what they want to be doing, but also about what we're about. And that's something which I think was missing. And he's hit the nail on the head. And not only are we playing silky football that's adaptable, it's not all about triangles and short passes. You know, we do see those long balls and those, you know, big crosses, which can just make the game change in an instant with one transition. You know, we're seeing a side which is only going to get better. So young, so forward thinking, so aggressive. You add a couple of older heads into that team. They might not be starting, just might be older heads that can help them get even better. But you add those older heads, this team becomes unbeatable. And I think one of those older heads, if they're a centre-back, if they're someone which can just bring calm to that defence, Chelsea will be in a position to go for titles on many fronts in about 2-3 years' time.
Yeah, I think we're on the right road now. You know, We're definitely progressing. This team is maturing. There's a good team spirit there, good character. And we showed character today, you know, and a lot of that comes from the manager. You know, he's the one that manages the players. He's the one that builds the mentality. He's the one that makes sure that there's good team spirit. And he's done that. And tactically, he's spot on. He gets it right. And when he gets it wrong, he makes changes and makes sure that it is right. He made a substitution at half-time today, which worked. And Chelsea came out in the second half a different team. It's like the reverse of last season. You know, in the second half last season, we came out and conceded a goal. This season, we're coming out after half-time and scoring a few goals, and playing better. So, yeah, he's done a great job. I didn't know much about him. I'd seen him at Leicester and obviously was a fan of what he'd done at Leicester, but I wasn't sure. I didn't know much about him as I did other managers.
It's funny because you mentioned what he did at Leicester, and every Leicester fan I spoke to when he was leaving to come to Chelsea were all very much in the camp of good luck, lads. You won't enjoy this. It's sorry 2.0. It's this. It's this. Like every fan I spoke to was not as impressed. He just seems to have landed this flawlessly.
Yeah.
I
think he's. I think he's much more pragmatic than people thought. He's willing to adapt his tactics and tactical setup and structure of the team depending on the opposition, depending on what players he has available. And, you know, he's got a philosophy, but tactically that's different from a tactical setup. So, you know, we try to play possession-based, passing football, pass out from the back, all that. Yes, but tactically, we change a lot within that. So, yeah. And like I say, I've been very impressed with how he's made an effort to connect with fans. He's gone to the fans after games, and away games especially. Like, I think they've done it today as well. He's encouraged the players to go to the fans. And last week, the fans were singing his name after the game. So, You know, that just shows the impact he's making, you know, and there's something about Italians and Chelsea, Italian managers and Chelsea.
Just Italians and Chelsea, right? We don't need to narrow it down to just the manager school.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, there's been some Italian players who weren't that great for Chelsea, to be honest.
We don't talk about them. They don't exist. It's fine. They're the ones the Italians just gave passports to because they
could. Also, bald Italian managers kind of works for us as well, like Vialli and now Enzo Maresca.
Robbie Di Matteo as well, mate. Don't forget him.
He was bald when we came here, wasn't he? Yeah, absolutely. I forgot, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, the Italian connection with Chelsea just keeps on going, and I love that. I love that the fact there's such an Italian vibe about Chelsea, and that's a nice thing to have. But yeah, Enzo Maresca, deserve your flowers. Keep up the good work, and let's have a really good season, and then keep improving into next season. Hopefully, we can win something this season. I think we'll win the Conference League. I'm pretty sure we will. But yeah. He deserves his flowers. He deserves a lot of credit. So I'm really pleased with him, and I'm really happy he's our manager. And I think the players clearly love him as well and respect him, and that's positive as well. We're not having any of these like cliques and player power and all that. That's a thing of the past. Everyone's united behind him. I hear we've got a Spurs fan in the listeners.
We do. We do. JS, I can see you in the requests, mate, but I just feel like this is a great opportunity to bring up a Spurs fan, and I'll ask them a few questions. Ange Postecoglou is the next to me, by the way. So I'm listen, whilst we're talking there, I'm absolutely going to be seeing what Big Ange has got to say. So I'll be going on mute when that interview comes on. But Callum.
Okay, bring him up and you can interview him.
No, it's cool. This is your show, mate. I want you to ask all the questions. I'm not coming to take over. We've invited Callum up.
If he comes in, I'm happy to.
Callum's a good lad. He used to be.
I also want to show respect. I think it's important to respect rival fans as well. Let's be clear on that. Oh yeah, we all laugh at Spurs, but you know, if you're a Spurs fan, you're really going through it right now.
Look, Callum's a good lad. I met him when he was 18. He came and did some videography and stuff for Imperial Wharf, and he talks well and he knows what he's doing. So if he wants to come up, he's more than welcome. And I think it would be very important to have that conversation post-game. But whilst we're waiting, in the meantime, I've got JS requesting. So would you like him to come up, school?
Yeah, bring him up. Bring him up.
All yours, mate.
So JS, welcome. What are your thoughts on the game today?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello, you're right.
Yeah, good to have you up here. What are your thoughts on the game?
Obviously, I just think it was an amazing game. I feel like, obviously, what happened to Cucurella, his boots and stuff like that. But I just love the fact that we showed character. Because it's a big test, especially away from home in a big game. We haven't been amazing in these big games this season. So to win like that, coming from behind, showing character, showing patience as well. It was amazing, especially at White Hart Lane as well. I think Sancho was fucking class. Sancho was amazing. I think this is his best performance in a Chelsea shirt. Sancho was amazing. Caicedo was good. Lavia, before he got injured, I think he was quite solid as well. Jackson, he didn't have the best of games today, to be fair, which he's been good, but he was amazing today, but yeah, Enzo was phenomenal as well. I'm loving the form Enzo's on right now, because he had a patch where he wasn't performing, and everyone started to ask questions about Enzo. Is he really worth the price tag? But I think in the last couple of weeks, Enzo's really came alive, and he's really been more confident nowadays. He's getting on the ball. He's doing what we paid initially from Benfica for him to do. So yeah, it's an amazing day. I'm very happy. Can't lie.
Who was your man of the match today?
Sancho. Sancho was... He's ball retention. He's in the ball retention. You can't... They couldn't take the ball off him. And it's... I don't want to talk about Sterling, but from going to watching Sterling last season, and that's an upgrade. That's how you upgrade your team. Like, he keeps the ball. He's technically secure. He creates chances. It's like having Palmer's our main playmaker, but having Sancho on that left-hand side, it gives us another, like, alternative to Palmer on that left-hand, left channel. So he's amazing. And I think Sancho's only gonna get better as well, when he gets more confident in front of goal as well. But yeah, we got a lot of options. We got a lot of options.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Jadon Sancho. I was happy when we signed him.
Yeah.
He scored a great goal on, on Wednesday against Southampton. And it looks like that's just giving him confidence because today's goal was absolutely sensational. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And he's a Chelsea fan. You got to remember that.
Yeah. Amazing.
I think he's absolutely loving it at Chelsea.
Yeah.
I really do. And I think like he was up for today because he's a Chelsea fan. He knows what it means.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think he was happy at really United, to be fair.
Yeah. I never felt Man United was the right club for him. I always felt he'd end up at Chelsea somehow, or that he was a Chelsea player in waiting, you know.
Lampard did want him, to be fair, when he was.
He did.
Yeah.
I think Lampard wanted him over Kai Havertz, actually.
Yeah. But I think the board chose Havertz to be, or something like
that. Yeah, the board and the owner wanted Havertz, and fair play to them. He did score a win in the Champions League final, so they weren't exactly, you know, proven wrong, but, you know, Sancho, he's proper Chelsea.
Proper Chelsea.
And I'm glad he put. Yeah. Well, thanks very much, JS. That's good to hear from you. That was the next thing I wanted to talk about, actually, was Jadon Sancho.
Do we have to talk about Jadon Sancho?
Well, you know, he did score a really great goal today.
Yeah. Okay.
And he played well.
Fine.
Probably one of his best goals for us. I know this show seems to be about players that you were skeptical about, and now.
that wasn't
actually the idea. It's just that they played well today.
What's your ongoing
assessment of Jadon Sancho now?
Look, Jadon Sancho, I'm going to continue to sit on the fence because I want to see him do this more regularly. He's had a cracking week. I think that's fair to say, you know, a great performance against Southampton, a great performance today. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, you can't give him credit where it's due. You know, it very much is that case where he's just been simply phenomenal. But I want to see this more. I'm not saying that he's not going to do it more. It's just a case of if he's done this for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, I'm going to sit there and I'm going, yeah, okay, fine. Like, this is great. But we saw this at the beginning where he had that flutter, started really well, went a bit quiet, and then now he's having that flutter again. It's almost like him and Nonny Madueke change. Now, when one of them's in good form, the other one's doing meh, okay. When one's in bad form, it's the other way around. So, you know, it's very much a case of, I think what he's done today is fantastic, and, you know, long may it continue. And, you know, I'd like this podcast to be able to get ads on it if it ever can. So I won't describe the goal as I would in a case which would be off air score. And you know what sort of language I love using. It's about something you see on Tuesdays with a little bit of thunder. That's how I'd like to describe it on air. Cracking finish, and let's see him do that a lot more. I want to see that final product from Jadon Sancho continuously.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, Nonny had a great game on Wednesday and scored. And, Sanchez scored on Wednesday and Sanchez scored today. Sanchez actually keeping Nonny out of the team at the moment. So, and Pedro Neto as well, who I thought he was good, but didn't score. But, our attack is generally, you know, we've got a lot of depth and they're all contributing. You know, we're not like depending on one of them. Jackson didn't score today, but we didn't need him to in the end. He had an off day, happens sometimes, but he's still, you know, in good form. But like this season, had a good season. So yeah, Jadon Sancho, I mean, 20, when you think we're going to pay 20, 25 million for him in the summer, you know, with the obligation.
Where is less than that, mate?
I think it's 20, 25 million. Or, yeah. It's 20 million and then the rest is on ad based on.
Right. Okay. Do you know what I've got it confused with? Because I was going to say it's 14 million, but then I realised the deal was we had to sign him permanently if we finished above 14th. That was the deal. I mean, look, 20, 25 million for him, that's a snip, isn't it? But whilst we're talking, I've been looking up at the screen and Ange Postecoglou's been in tears and it's hilarious.
Really?
No, he's not actually crying, but, you know, it looks like he is. He's doing that whole face he pulls where he's probably going, you know, it's just the way we play, mate. You know, it's what we do. You know, it's our problem. You know, if Kukurea kept his fucking boots on, we'd be in a different situation. Yeah, you know, now that went a little bit big, Les. But you know what I mean? He's now just stormed off and it's hilarious.
I think Postecoglou's days at Spurs are numbered now. The fans are turning on him, for sure. It's beautiful to see that we're not the team that a team gets back in form against, that we're the team that finishes a manager off for once, especially when it's Spurs. It's always, you know, Spurs is always a nice team to get the better of. And it means we've got more banter. I mean, like, Spurs are 11th now, by the way. They're 7 points off the top four. And that means that we're 11 points ahead of them. we can all laugh at Spurs. It's fine. We're just beating them. Jadon Sancho, our attackers, all good. There's so many things we can talk about today. We've only talked about Cole Palmer, Jadon Sancho and Enzo Fernandez so far. But if you've got something you want to talk about that we haven't talked about yet, make sure you request and come up. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a couple of people up today, made some good points. If you want to come up and share something we haven't talked about or even that we have talked about, do come up and request and Louis will let you in. And if that Spurs fan is still out there, we would genuinely love to hear from you and your honest thoughts on where Spurs are and how you played today. We'd love to hear from you as well. That means on to the next point. And this is a question that everyone is asking, and I'm only asking this because everyone else is asking it, and it's going to be a discussion topic. But about Chelsea and the title race. Now, there's already pundits out there saying that we're in the title race because we won today. Now, I don't personally believe we're in the title race because I don't think we're going to win it this year. I think third or fourth is the most likely finish for us. I said that at the start of the season. I'm not changing my mind. I think it's too soon for us to be challenging for the title, let alone winning it. But we're second. And, you know, we're the closest team to Liverpool at the moment. We are. So it's going to be a conversation, you know, and we're overperforming right now. But it is a question. Like, I think I know what your answer is going to be, Louis, but what are your thoughts on that question?
Chelsea Football Club are a little horse. And it's going to need lots of milk to continue to grow, to get in the right places. Not yet. Let's just take each game as it comes. That's all it is at the minute. Each game as it comes. That's all we can say in this at the moment.
That's my view as well.
It is. Well, speaking of views, by the way, Gary's just requested, and I think he's going to want to answer this question from New York.
Oh, great.
So I'll
Gary, we'll add him in. So long.
Get him in.
Yeah.
King Gary. Where is he? Connecting. He's connecting.
Yeah, there you are, Gary.
He's not going to connect. I bet he is. That's, here he is. Is he here? Is he live from New York? Hey, Gary, you walking here? What's going on? he's not walking. He's somewhere else. He's on mute currently. That's what's happened here. He'll speak in a moment, probably. See what happens there. But anyway, to continue to answer your question, Chelsea are in a position where they just need to continue taking each game as it comes. And I think that's something which we can't take for granted. I think a lot of people might get ahead of themselves and we just need to sort of bring it out.
How are you doing, son? Hey, listen, the boys of New York have got a message for London. Tottenham get battered! That's how we do it, boys. Lewis, you want something coherent? I can't give you it. But listen, we did them again. Good night.
Good night. Brilliant. Absolutely love it.
And then Gary's done that and just dipped. That is perfect. That's exactly what we needed.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and we should be celebrating. We just beaten Spurs. You know, thrashed, well, not thrashed him, but we beat him comprehensively. And yeah, absolutely beautiful. Beautiful times. It's awful times for Spurs. And yeah, we love it. So thank you. Yeah, a New York moment there from the legendary Gary Hayes. It's always good to have him on here, no matter what. So, yeah, we should be celebrating today. Chelsea on a good run now. We're doing well. It's a good time to be a Chelsea fan. And we've got Conference League coming up this week, I think. Is that right? It's our next fixture.
It is indeed.
And then we've got next week's Premier League game is going to be interesting because we're playing Brentford, who are in very good form, doing really well under Thomas Frank. And they've beaten us at home, like I think the last few times we played them at Stamford Bridge. So not going to be an easy game, that one, another challenge, but you know, I'm confident under Enzo Maresca, he can rise to that, and confident in these players. You know, the run will end at some point, but you know, I believe in this team. But that'll be a challenge next week, no doubt about it. So, yeah, but thanks Gary for that. I think you're right about the title race. We're a little horse. I love that phrase from Mourinho. Well, we only finished 4 points off the top that season in reality, but we're a little horse. We're still learning. We're still growing. There's still things that we need to add to really get there. But you know, people will talk about the title race. That's going to happen, unfortunately, but we just need to not believe our own hype and just focus on the football, focus on every game. I don't think the players think we're in a title race. Cole Palmer certainly doesn't. He's saying it was too soon as well. So, we just need to keep our focus on the football. I think I think that's something we agree on, Louis.
Absolutely. I think, look, anyone who sits here and jumps straight into it and says, no, we're definitely in a title race now. Look, Liverpool are currently very comfortable in the position that they're in right now. They don't look like they're going to be dropping points anytime soon. You know, we need to take the result today with a pinch of salt, because even though the derby at Goodison Park can always be a difficult one, especially, let's be honest, this is going to be the last one at Goodison Park. And Everton always seem to, you know, really pluck up the courage to play those games, especially under the lights. You know, it could go our way. But realistically, the way Liverpool are playing currently, you'd expect them to pick up all 3 points. So if we kind of look at it that way, Chelsea are pretty much in the same position they were last week. But the only thing which we can be very happy about, and the only big difference, as much as we're in the same position we were last week, is that there's now a small gap between us and third. So we've just got to continue to look that way and keep pushing forward. I think that's exactly what Maresca's going to be saying in the dressing room as well.
Absolutely right. Yeah, he's approached this correctly all along, I think. Just not raising expectations, keeping them pretty low, and just managing the players well, managing expectations well, which is another credit to him, really, I think. Yeah, I think I just thought it'd be important to address that question because people are going to be asking it for sure, and it's going to be a debate in the next few weeks. Now, some other things. Just Anthony Taylor today. There was a couple of really bad decisions that he made in the first half. One of them was in our favour, and one of them was against us. Romeo obviously didn't matter in the end, but Caicedo lucky to be on the pitch for the second half, and there was a foul on Lavia, like an elbow in the face basically, which wasn't even given as a booking, I don't think, and both of them went to VAR and nothing got given. So you know, but I think we were all worried about Anthony Taylor today, but I think it's just today to show me he's just a bad referee. It's not that he's even got an agenda against any club. He's just a bad referee, and the standards of refereeing are just not good. You know, I mean, both sides could have ended with 10 men today. What are your thoughts on that,
Louis? I think we were very fortunate to not see Moises Caicedo sent off. One thing I thought Jamie Carragher made a big song and dance about it, as he does on commentary. I do think at this point he does ham it up a little bit on comms and for the clicks. There's no way he can talk the way he does. And actually mean half the stuff that comes out of his mouth, or if he does mean it with such animosity and such strength. I would argue that as much as, you know, we both teams were very fortunate, it's hit the point with Premier League referees where you actually have no thoughts and it has no impact. Like, I'm actually over this now. I'm so over how poor referees continue to be. It's ludicrous, some of the stuff that they continue to do. I think there was also the opportunity which Son missed where, you know, Udogie was in an offside position, played the ball, but they continued to play. That goal could have stood, could have been put Spurs 3-2 up at that point as well. So, you know, it was very much a case of, you know, there was that as well. Dejan Kulusevski, yeah, I mean, that was a red card. I mean, it definitely was. But I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that's not me saying that what happened with Kulusevski, you know, just, you know, if he got sent off and Moises Caicedo didn't, there'd be arguments that, oh, it was unfair, etc., etc., etc. At the end of the day, two wrongs don't make a right. And
absolutely,
I think, unfortunately, as evidenced in open statements that referees have made in similar situations, I reckon they know they got that Moises Caicedo call wrong. And once they got that call wrong, I thought, oh, we can't send him off because this will cause too much drama. So they played the politics rather than the football. And their job in this case and in the game is to play the football. It's to make sure that everything goes the right way and not play the politics. And unfortunately, the fact that I'm even sitting and saying that that could be a case, and granted, I could be talking out of my arse, right? I could be. We all know that. But the track record suggests that I'm not. And they need to sort this stuff out because it's actually embarrassing, the amount of, quite frankly, I'm not even going to sugarcoat, just shite. The shower of shite that refereeing is in the UK is a joke at this point. Like, my little brother actually said to me a few weeks ago, I'd love to maybe learn how to referee. What's the point? What's the point? Because you get given a mentor in refereeing. That's the thing, right? The mentor you get given is somebody who's in the EFL or in the Premier League if you get a certain point, right? And these guys are rubbish. So why would you even bother learning from this lot? They don't know what they're doing. Or they try and play the politics. I'm so over how rubbish referees are that by the end of the game, I was just looking at the result going, brilliant, happy days. Grant, you know Spurs fans are going to talk about that Moises Caicedo challenge, right? And then Chelsea fans will flip it to Dejan Kulusevski one. But therein lies the problem. It's the fact that we're trying to poke holes in the game on two decisions that should have been made that weren't. And that's embarrassing rather than actually looking at it at face value.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on everything you said, pretty much. The standards of refereeing generally are just on the floor in this country. And it affects every team now. And you hear every team's fans complaining about it. These sort of incidents happen to every team now. It's getting ridiculous. And, you know, yeah, today you're right. They kind of tried to make one wrong into two wrongs make a right thing today. When actually they should just be getting them all right, you know, in the first place, which would have meant both of them sent off. And that, you know, that would have made us made it more difficult for us, but it would have been the correct decision. You know, we can't just defend decisions that we can't, just have a go at decisions that go against us and then defend decisions that go in our favour that are the wrong decisions. I agree on that, I think. But, you know, ultimately we won the game. So I bet it's important to talk about because it's something that's just going on now in English football. And I think people are getting sick of it and the lack of accountability that these referees have. They seem to get away with anything. It's never their fault. And they just apologise afterwards if they get it wrong, like some pathetic apology, which doesn't mean anything. It doesn't change the result. You know, they're empty apologies. You need to get it right in the game. That's why they're professional referees. But the standards are not good.
This is exactly why I'm so tired of it, though. Like, every team has this conversation at least once or twice a month. And it's not even, yeah. it's redundant to even talk about it at this point, because we're literally going to sit here and be talking about it because nothing ever changes. That's the biggest problem we're facing here. It's a joke. And that's why I sound annoyed about it, because I am. And when I say I'm over it, I also am. It's just the fact that the whole thing, you sit there and you go, what is going to change and make the difference here? Because something has to. Something's got to give. Because whilst this continues, people are going to get more and more annoyed. There's going to be more and more situations that need to be dealt with. And, you know, it's something which is a question that will always be asked until the difference is made.
Absolutely agree. 100%. Yeah. I mean, I expect there'll be more of these kind of conversations coming up in our show, regardless of results, in the next few months, because it happens with every team, like you say. So, yeah, but, you know, the more, if we keep talking about it, maybe somebody will listen, you know, so, yeah, but I doubt it, but, you know, we can only keep talking about it. Got a nice little quote from Enzo Maresca here, which I love, about Palmer's second penalty. He said, the second penalty, it's cold. It's cold. I love that. He's getting on the cold Palmer's brain as well.
I'm just waiting for the day he does the things with his shoulders. He just rubs his shoulders like, yeah, it was ice cold. And like, yeah, you're officially one of us, mate. That's exactly where I'm at. I think, yeah, the whole thing is just excellent.
There's a photo posted of his celebration on the Chelsea Twitter account, which I've posted on the Echo account. Absolutely lovely photo.
Let me just share it now. I'll find that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Share that. I loved it. It was beautiful. Beautiful to see. He's really getting into this stuff, into Chelsea, and becoming part of the club, you know, he's becoming a close relationship with the fans now. Great. I'll absolutely love him. He's, Jason Jensen is an upgrade on Sterling. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, but what a celebration there from Enzo Maresca. And it's a lovely way to kind of close out the show. Like, a beautiful day for Chelsea. 4-3 winners against Spurs, second in the league, four clear of Manchester City in fourth. We're six clear of fifth place now. Well, so our position in the top four is very, very strong. We're in good run. Four wins. I think it's four wins on the trot, or is it five? Four, I think it is. In the Premier League anyway. Really good time to be a Chelsea fan. We're top scorers in the Premier League. And, you know, we've got some challenging fixtures coming up. We've also got some winnable fixtures coming up. So next Sunday evening is Chelsea against Brentford. Before that, we've got an away game at Astana. And that's at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yes, it's in Kazakhstan.
Wow, that's probably the earliest I've ever seen a midweek game kick off. That's not at Christmas. Yeah, so Astana, then Brentford at home on Sunday, then Shamrock Rovers at home on the 19th of December, and then Everton away on Sunday the 22nd of December. That's not going to be an easy game at all. So there are our next four games. So we've got a couple of, you know, challenging league games. You know, our next four league games are Brentford, Everton, Fulham and Ipswich. So, you know, hopefully we get maximum points from most of those, but won't be easy. But in between those, we've got a couple of relatively easy games in the Conference League. So, yeah, that's a busy December for Chelsea, but we're in good form. Hopefully we can continue that. Louis, your final thoughts on today's game?
Tottenham get battered everywhere they go. Tottenham get battered everywhere they go. Everywhere they go. 1, 2, 3, 4, Tottenham get battered everywhere they go. Tottenham get battered everywhere they go. Everywhere they go!
Beautiful. Beautiful. I am very, very happy today. So many reasons. So many good performances. Everything's positive about Chelsea right now. And it's beautiful to see Tottenham getting battered. Because they get battered everywhere they go. So, yes. Do make sure that you, again, check out the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. Tons of great content there. Check out the voice note review. I'm sure Louis will try and stop singing the song for 3 minutes.
No promises.
Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, check out the voice note review. That'll be on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account later today. This show will be available as a podcast tomorrow morning. So make sure you check that out if you want to listen to it again. And make sure you just follow us all. Follow me, follow Louis, follow Chelsea Echo. Great content, great accounts. Thanks to everyone who came up and shared. Really appreciate it. We hope more of you can come up in the future. It's always great to hear from fans. We love it. That's what this show's about. We want to have more fans coming up, more fans sharing about Chelsea. So join us for the next show after the game on Thursday in Kazakhstan against Astana. And that'll be at about 5:30. The show will be at 5:30 UK time. The fixture's at 3:30. So we'll make sure you try and catch that and we'll catch us then. So thanks everyone for listening and participating, and up the Chelsea.